The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week. And let's kick it off with the latest breaking news, which is that Donald Trump has refused to release the Democrat memo that is in response to the so-called Republican memo. And all of this is an attempt to show that the FISA court was correct in looking into Carter Page. Carter Page is somebody who was a part of the Trump campaign briefly. And he seems like, I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, he seems like kind of a nobody here. And, you know, it sucks because when you put somebody on the campaign, of course, you know, you want to make yourself look good and you want to make them look good. So you talk them up, you know, you give them credit, you say all kinds of things. And then if you find something out about them, so for instance, they were under surveillance. Carter Page was under surveillance. And so he is let go. You know, they just break up. And now you don't want to say good things about him anymore because the man, it's going to make you look like whatever he did, you did also, right? So from what I can gather, Carter Page was under investigation, but they never prosecuted him. They never did anything. There's some vague accusations, and that's about it. So it's kind of a big nothing. So, you know, the Republicans are saying not only is this a nothing, it's a super nothing. And the Democrats are saying, well, it's something huge. But it's really a nothing. And it's funny because this is all part of a bigger nothing, which is that the Democrats are trying to get people in the Trump campaign so that they can get to Trump. But the overall conclusion that they're trying to establish is that Trump was working with the Russians to hack the election. And guys, it's just ridiculous. It's not true. There's no way. This is the biggest, dumbest conspiracy theory that there's ever been. And there's been a lot of them. Well, maybe I'm speaking hyperbolically. I mean, there is that one with the lizard men controlling the world. But, I mean, you know, even that's more likely than this Russian thing. Because you can't disprove that lizard men are secretly in charge of the world. But you can prove that Russians have not stolen the election. So I guess this is the biggest, dumbest conspiracy that there's ever been. Amazing that that it's real and that this is happening. And that Democrats, I mean, guys, go up on Twitter and say something against this and you immediately get called a Russian bot. The Democrats, who are the party of Hillary Clinton, who actually paid millions upon millions of dollars through a super PAC, of course, through Correct the Record, in order to hire online trolls to defend Hillary Clinton, Correct the Record. They believe that you are a Russian troll. Only the Democrats. You know, McCarthyism, you know, that era that we laugh at and we're like, oh, it's so funny. They saw Russians hiding behind every tree and lamppost. And, you know, they're like, oh, everybody's a communist. Everyone's a communist. That's the Democrats now. That's actually happening. Anyway, the reason that Trump gave for not releasing, allowing the release of the Democrat memo is because national security concerns. Now, if you recall, everybody and their mother, except for some Republicans generally, were asking that the previous memo not be released because of national security concerns. Now, of course, the memo was released, and if you look and actually read the memo, you see that there is nothing in there at all that jeopardizes national security at all. However, the same people who decried that memo as being, you know, as having concerns to our national security and requesting that it not be released, have to, I would expect, although I don't know what's in the Democrat memo, but I would expect that they would have to say the same thing about this Democrat memo that that the Democrats want to release. So they're saying that there are national security concerns. So Trump is using that as the reason why he's not allowing the release of the memo. He told them, go back and rewrite it, you know, redo it so that we don't have national security concerns. And one of the people, he stapled a letter from Rod Rosenstein, who is the in the Department of Justice. He's in charge of overseeing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into the whole Russian, you know, investigation. So Rosenstein said that he didn't want the previous memo released. Well, he has to say he doesn't want this one released. So Trump is using that as a reason to not release the Democrat memo. Now, this is funny because Trump, it seems, wants to get rid of Rosenstein because Rosenstein is helping, is defending Mueller. Mueller, of course, is, you know, in the special prosecutor who's investigating Donald Trump and his administration for connections to Russia for hacking the 2016 election. So Rosenstein, who's overseeing Special Counsel Mueller, recommends that this memo not be released. And Trump is using that as his reason not to release it. Now, this is great because he's using the other memo, which he did release against Rosenstein's advice, as a basis as to why he should fire Rosenstein. Now, he hasn't, if I recall, he hasn't actually said that, but that's what people think he's going to do. Now, if he fires him, then the overseeing of the Russian investigation goes to the number three person in the Department of Justice. But the thing is, this person whose name is Rachel Brand has announced her resignation. So now if Trump puts somebody in who is willing to fire Mueller, we might be seeing the end of this debacle. So Trump, I've heard, wants to fire Mueller, but he can't because it would look bad. So he's going to fire Rosenstein, who will then be replaced by this lady who's leaving, and who's then going to be replaced by someone that Trump hires, who will then be able to cleanly fire Mueller without too much ado. Now, it seems kind of weird to me. I mean, they're saying that, well, if Trump doesn't have anything to hide, then let Mueller do the investigation. In fact, even Trey Gowdy came out. Trey Gowdy is a really smart guy, and he's a staunch conservative. And he came out and said that he supports the Mueller investigation because he doesn't feel that they're going to find anything. Well, it seems odd to me that Trump is allowing this investigation to continue because, as we know, Trump isn't somebody who has any problems firing somebody, right? So, I mean, his catchphrase is, you're fired. So why hasn't he gotten rid of Mueller? Yeah, I know. Everybody says it's going to look really bad. They'll put somebody else in there. I don't know. I mean, he fired Comey, you know, and what's funny about that, now that I'm thinking about it, is that it was shown, Trump said to Comey, will you please let everybody know that I'm not under FBI investigation? Comey, under oath, said that at the time, Trump was not under FBI investigation, but he would not allow that to be known by the general public. So once Trump saw the time was right, he got rid of Comey. Now, yeah, he took a lot of flack for that, but he was willing to do it. So I can't help but wonder if the reason why Trump hasn't gotten rid of Mueller is because this Russian stuff makes a pretty annoying but good distraction from Trump being able to get a lot of work done. I mean, look at all the things that he is doing that doesn't really get much coverage. I think that the reason it doesn't get coverage is because of all of this stuff with the Russian investigation is taking up all the airtime, sucking up all the air out of the room. And the radio stations and the TV stations are getting good ratings out of it, but they're ignoring the more important issues. Although one issue that they have been on is the stock market decline this week, and they have loved talking about that and, you know, saying how terrible Donald Trump is and that we've lost a year's worth of gains. Guys, you know, I don't know how they can report stuff like this. So here's the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Last year, let's see if I can get this. Last year, it was at 20,000 points, 20,269.37. Right now, as we speak, it's at 24,190.9. Okay. That is not, those are not the same numbers. We're up 4,000 points. So, where are they getting this number from that we've wiped out the year's gains? Well, what they're saying is from the start of this year. So, in December 25th, we were at 24.7. We are now at 24.1. So they mean the gains for the last month and plus a couple of days. So when you hear them say that we've lost a year's worth, it's not true. It's fake news, guys. Fake news. Everything's fine. And you know me, I mean, I think this country is in huge financial trouble. But report, honestly, don't send people into a panic, my goodness. But that's the news, you know, that's how it goes. Trump gave a great speech in Ohio this past week. And what does the news take away from it? There's one, they play people commenting on Donald Trump calling the Democrats treasonous because they didn't applaud. Well, what actually happened? I mean, I guess you could say that he did technically do that, which sounds scary when the way that the news reports it. And it is scary when you think about the idea that a president, because treason in this country, of course, is punishable by death, right? So the idea that the president could label an entire party as treasonous makes you think, oh my God, he's setting them up so he can kill them. But if you watch the actual thing that happened was, someone from the, he was saying, the Democrats didn't applaud. I'm saying these great things. One member of the Black Caucus applauds when I say that we're at the lowest unemployment ever for minorities in this country, for blacks and Latinos. And he says, one African-American applauds. And the Democrats that were there didn't applaud the entire time. And he said that he thought it was disgraceful and very un-American. And someone from the audience shouts, treasonous. And Trump, for a split second, he makes a face. He's like, treason? He goes, yeah, we can say that. We can go with that. But, I mean, I guess I could see it being scary to the other side. I remember when Hillary Clinton made a joke about just drone striking the WikiLeaks guy, Julian Assange. And I didn't think that was very funny. laughing about the abuse of power. But I guess that's because we actually do bomb people and assassinate people on a regular basis. So. But the news loves to report bad things about Donald. Have they ever reported anything good about Donald Trump in memory? So earlier this week, this here's a story that is of earth-shattering importance, in case you missed it. This is from Newsweek. Watch, Donald Trump tries and fails to hold Melania's hand, gets a handful of her coat sleeve instead. Guys, this is a whole article. The awkward displays of public affection between President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump continue. On Monday, the Trumps were spotted leaving the White House for Ohio. Why is this a story? I mean, they're giving it too much space to even make it a headline. Could you imagine if you were so scrutinized that you try to grab your girl's hand, accidentally grab her coat sleeve, and makes flippin' Newsweek? I mean, do they have editors at Newsweek? What do they think when they see a story like this? Do they look at this and they're like, oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff, Parker. Of course, that was nothing compared to the other Trump story that they ran this week where they were criticizing, mocking endlessly Donald Trump's hair. So Donald Trump is getting on an airplane and the wind is blowing the back of his head. Now, he has thin hair. And the way it's blowing it, you can see that he looks totally bald the way that's blowing the hair out of the way. And it looks awful. And they kept replaying it over and over again, just not letting up. Jimmy Kimmel does a whole segment on his show about it and has various hair care people, hairdressers, I guess. What do they call cosmetologists? What are they? And they're not barbers. Well, maybe some of them were. I don't know. He's got people who do stuff with hair commenting on how terrible Donald Trump's hair is. This was the entire segment. And it wasn't really witty or funny. It was just mean. I mean, that's the way his hair is. He can't do anything about it. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's a fat, hacky comedian. But he could just get on a treadmill and hire better writers. He can change it. You know, you're stuck with the hair you're born with, right? So, you know, next time the liberals say that you shouldn't make fun of the way a person looks, they're the worst. I've never seen anybody make fun of other people as much as a liberal does. I mean, it's not clever or anything because they're not able to turn a phrase most of the time. It's just crummy and mean. Now, of course, you know, one of the big criticisms in this Russian investigation is that so far there hasn't been any proof. And the Democrats say, well, you know, you have to believe our intelligence agencies. They're the ones who have the proof. They can't give it to you or tell you what it is. But they say that it's true. So they're the ones you have to just take their word for it, right? So here's a story. This is GQ magazine. And people were up in arms about this. U.S. official confirms that Russia hacked a small number of voter rolls in 2016. Wow, that's kind of scary, right? So now we finally have the proof that Russia hacked the election. On Wednesday, Department of Homeland Security head of cybersecurity Jeanette Manfra confirmed to NBC News that although she couldn't talk about classified information publicly, the Department of Homeland Security saw Russia target 21 states' voter registration rolls in 2016. An exceptionally small number of them, she added, were actually successfully penetrated. But, and people were like, it doesn't matter if it was just one state, you know, the fact that the Russians could penetrate our elections is ridiculous. The thing is that, of course, there's, again, no proof. Security clearance issues prevented the federal government from telling states what they needed to know. So the states said, what, we've been hacked, tell us what's going on. But they can't because the information is classified. As a matter of fact, they called these states. So NBC calls the states that were supposedly hacked, and they said, no, we don't know anything about it. Well, guess what? There is one state that was kind of hacked, and they found out about it, but here's what happened. It wasn't the Russians. It was the Department of Homeland Security. Here's a story as reported by NBC News.
More questions surface over the attempted hack of Georgia's election database. The Wall Street Journal reporting a third-party security firm working for the state found the unsuccessful breach was traced back to the U.S. government. The hack was linked to an IP address associated with the Department of Homeland Security. Georgia's Secretary of State sent a letter asking the department to confirm whether a scan attempt was made, who authorized it, and whether the agency is scanning other state systems without permission. The bottom line, Georgia demanding answers.
Well, I'm glad they even reported that story. You know, you need something to counterbalance the stories of Trump grabbing Melania's sleeve. I think it's a good mix of news that we get nowadays. Here's an actual story that, it ends up not revealing anything, but apparently the Associated Press sued in order to get the autopsy report on Stephen Paddock, the L.A. gunman, released, and found out that they report it as his system being clean, and then a little bit further down they say that there was nothing in him except for anti-anxiety medication. They said that he hated drugs of any kind and was afraid of stuff, but he did take a prescription for anti-anxiety medication. It says that it offers no insight whatsoever to what caused the killing. But I'm here on the FDA site, and it says the FDA lists the following side effects for anti-anxiety medication: drowsiness, dizziness, mass murder. And then after that is dry mouth. Now, it just seems odd to me that they're discounting that as a possible reason for why he did this stuff. I mean, you know, he's taking antipsychotic drugs, right? Or is that what they call this class of medication? It's something that messes with your head. And I would think that would contribute to it. But this article is like, we found no answers from this at all other than drugs in a system. What's that? Say that again. What does it do? I don't know. I mean, I guess it makes you feel less anxious, but more homicidal, apparently.
Lavender is an
anti-anxiety, you know, medication, I guess. Is it actually a medication? I mean, it's not real, though. It's real, but it's not something you get a prescription for. I mean, lavender exists. But if I went to the doctor and he said, you're feeling anxious, here's some lavender, I would think that he's not a regular doctor. He's one of those naturalists. And my girlfriend telling me that lavender is a anti-anxiety medication. She's a smart cookie, though.
No!
Do you believe the whole big pharma conspiracy? Because maybe if the guy took some lavender, we'd be all right. Yeah, you're right. And this website, I just typed in what you know, anti-anxiety medicines, and I got this article: which medications are best for anxiety disorders? And then it has antidepressants, diazepines, buspirone, hydrazine, beta blockers. I probably didn't pronounce any of that correctly, but I don't know what this stuff does, but apparently it doesn't do anything negative to you, because the news told me that we still don't have an explanation. So if the news doesn't think it's important, I don't think it's important either. But I wish that I knew what exactly the gunman was taking. The news didn't report that. It just says anti-anxiety, so that I could make sure that I didn't take it, or anyone around me didn't take it. Maybe wrongly, but maybe rightly too, right? Okay, so remember, guys, if you feel anxious, take lavender. Is that true? That's not a personal endorsement. That's just something I heard from somebody recently. All right, thanks for joining me again this week for the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm the Ed Man. If you wish to write to me, you can do so at Ed Man, E-D-A-E-D-M-A-N, at